there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43, and I'm now blessed and honored to help many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools and resources to help support you on your journey as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited about interviewing our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know that you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my privilege to introduce our wonderful guest, Leila Reyes. Welcome, Leila.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing to bring together so much needed information. If I had these resources when I went through my breakup in 2004, I would have been so incredibly grateful. So thank you for all that you're doing. You know, it's some
well,
great
thank you here. For your contribution and participation. I really think that your wisdom is going to be so beneficial to so many of the women on the summit. So thank you for being here.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So just a little bit about Leila before we get started. Leila Reyes is an international teacher, coach, and consultant who specializes in relationship and divorce coaching and personal empowerment. She is a certified master integrative coach who has been personally trained by Debbie Ford, the New York Times best-selling author and creator of the world-acclaimed spiritual divorce process. Leila has also developed the groundbreaking Reclaim Yourself After Divorce process. She teaches skills that increase confidence, self-esteem, joy, and authentic expression, and she empowers people to move on with their lives and draw in new possibilities. And that's really what the summit's all about, drawing in new possibilities. Her powerful work helps people heal their hearts, regain their power, and create the life they've always wanted. So Leila is going to be sharing with us a topic that I think will be very helpful for so many of you on the summit, because I know many of you have been through the experience of divorce or a painful breakup or disappointments or heartbreak in your relationships. And Leila is going to be speaking about the three C's of reclaiming yourself. And I want to start, Leila, if we can, by having you share a little bit about your own personal experience and your own personal journey and how you came to do this work.
I'd love to share that. You know, as you were sharing a little bit about my bio when I was listening to it, you teach what you need to learn, you know? I started out with this going, I was in so much pain and I needed to heal my heart and regain my power and create the life that I've always wanted and entered this journey from a relationship of 23 years that I definitely did not choose the right guy to start with. And it's so important to start out with that foundation where you're in a place where you can really consciously choose an excellent partner for yourself, where it's based in the possibilities and not the wounding or the pathology of whatever baggage we've brought with us throughout our lives. And I had that in my relationship, and I was in a long-term marriage that there wasn't any real intimacy in this marriage, and I really just went along, just limping along as if everything was okay, and didn't realize some of the things that I needed to do for myself that would really create a foundation for me to attract the right guy into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a mirror as I then left that relationship and went into subsequent relationships. I started realizing that I was the common denominator in that scenario, right? And so
I can relate to that. That was an aha for me too. I'm the common denominator.
right, but we don't know it. You know, the first relationship, and since it lasted so long, it was really easy to point my finger and say, you're the problem. And then when I got into another relationship, it could be, oh, well, it doesn't look exactly the same. There's so much more intimacy, but guess what? Some of the same issues were still there, and I can go, oh, well, you know, it's still him. But third time, you know, the third time, you're like, oh, or I'm like, all right, I'm hearing some of the same complaints. I'm hearing some of the same things, and I'm complaining about some of the same things. So these are the things that I need to now take a look at and really give myself the time and energy and compassion and awareness around what it is that is running my programming underneath my actions. And so, you know, that's a little light version of my story and how I got to where I'm at. And I started doing some, when I left my husband, I just really started looking at what I could do to develop myself and grow myself, and fell into this incredible line of work where I started to connect with people who were going through the same kinds of things I was and having the same kind of heartache that I was. And I started seeing some patterns. I started hearing the same things. And I started going, oh, aha, aha, these are things that are really common. And then I started noticing, oh, these things are, this particular thing here can really shift this and give you a whole new experience of your life and of yourself, which that new experience then opens you up to taking new actions in your life, which then leads you to choosing the right guy, being able to choose in a different way.
Mm. Yeah, and so I think you're right. I think, Layla, many of us come to do the work that we are led to do by our own struggles, our own challenges, and our own journey. And it's an amazing thing in many ways, isn't it, that we can take something that's very painful and very challenging and turn it into something so beautiful, really, because now you're able, through what you've gone through, to help other people who are on this
path. I've cracked the code.
I've cracked the code
to reclaiming yourself and creating that foundation. And so today I would really love to share a little bit around how to build that foundation and what prepares you for the right guy.
And, yes, please.
And, you know, breakups can really feel like an earthquake. You know, our life is left in a rubble. And divorce or breakups, whatever we're going through in that loss. I even have worked with people who have been widowed, and it's just a lot of the same feelings that come up, and the same experience of needing to rebuild from the ground up. And so I have come up with these three cornerstones or footings for reclaiming yourself and rebuilding your new life. And so I want to give the listeners a practice for each one. I'll describe each one and then give a practice that I use in my Reclaim Yourself After Divorce process. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right, so the first cornerstone that I want to talk about is consciousness. This is the first C. And you need to really start your foundation and be really conscious. This is the structure that you're going to be building very strong structure from. Because your awareness is going to make a huge difference in the quality of your life and the time that it takes to heal. So most of us will create a future after a traumatic experience using the same building materials that we're familiar with. For example, we're going to use the same communication patterns. We're going to use the same thoughts and the same behaviors. But in that, we're just living our life unconsciously, and we're going to be attracting the same type of guy that we've attracted in the past. And so if we want to really attract the right guy, what we want to do is we want to have a new experience of ourselves and of our thoughts and of our actions. We need to find new materials to rebuild with. And so being really conscious of what your thoughts are, and I'll tell you what, it's not always easy going in and picking around in there to see what's running you. To be really conscious of your words, what's coming out of your mouth, what you're saying, and what you're creating with that, and the actions that you're doing. This is the biggest thing because they're all connected, though. So your actions are going to come directly from the way that you're thinking and feeling and what you're saying. And if you don't, you know, if you don't really do this, then you're going to, and raise that consciousness, you're just going to be building the same building, just on a different street with a different guy, but not the right guy. So let me show you what I mean by that, okay?
Okay.
One of my clients, I'll call her Jane, she was in a marriage for 15 years. And when she discovered that there was, when she divorced, she was left in this place with, I just want to be in a relationship. I just want to be married again. And that was the only thing that she could think of. So guess what she did?
What did she do?
She went out and married the first guy that she met. She didn't even think about it, right?
Right.
Right? And we're attracted to people who are, that are, you know, relationships for me are a spiritual practice. And so we're attracted to people that are going to push us to you know, we're going to get that same lesson over and over again until we get the lesson and then we get a new one, right? But
right.
Because she wasn't conscious of what was running her, with that I'm afraid to be alone forever kind of programming, and that she was willing to settle, wasn't looking at deeper into what was motivating her, then she ended up with the same kind of guy. And she didn't even think about this until her marriage ended like 5 years later for the same reasons that her first marriage ended. And she was devastated all over again, and it was because she wasn't aware of those relationship patterns in her life. She found herself dredging up the same hurts, the exact same anger, the exact same resentment that she had with her first husband. And the marriage ended for the exact same reasons, and she was left going, what just happened?
Right.
And so she worked with me in both a group spiritual divorce class that I have, a study of spiritual divorce, and a one-on-one private coaching to examine her beliefs and raise her awareness around her negative and positive behaviors. You need to understand both. And then she started to change. She started making decisions based from that incredible inner strength that she was able to connect with that still grows and continues to grow with her today. And I know that because we do, you know, we do these monthly tune-up sessions and to just keep her right on, make sure she's on the right track. So, you know, I get a regular, check-in of how she's been doing. And healing is so slow if you're building your foundation from hurt and anger and resentment. Because just like Jane, you're going to probably repeat the same experiences until you bring that consciousness to all aspects of your inner and outer world.
It's so interesting. I love the word consciousness because I do think that it's so easy for so many of us, Layla, to go through so much of our lives operating unconsciously, right? We don't even really understand, or we're not even paying attention to what is happening. And unless there's that conscious awareness, we do tend to fall back into just the same old patterns, like the example of the woman that you shared with us who married the first guy she dated after divorce, right?
Absolutely. You know, when we go through divorce, it can bring up so many painful and overwhelming emotions that we don't even want to deal with. And we want to sweep them under the carpets. We want to ignore them. We want to deny them. We want to get as far away from them as possible. But really what I've learned is there's a, I forget who said this, but you can't heal what you can't feel. And so we really need to bring our feelings into our consciousness practice, and our feelings are going to have a really profound impact on our experience and the choices that we make about who to be in relationship with. And so it's really important from this consciousness perspective to understand that our feelings are normal and that we need to feel them. We need to understand them. We need to use our feelings so that they don't use us. We need to bring consciousness to them so that they don't control us. And when we go through a breakup, we will have anger and resentment and grief, feelings of loss and betrayal, and all of these things are normal. And here's the thing, when you try to avoid them, when you try to deny them or pretend that they're not there, they lengthen your healing process. They keep you in pain longer. Like the average, I don't know if you know this, but statistically, it takes 4 to 8 years to heal from a divorce or a painful relationship breakup. That's a long time to get yourself back into the saddle again to find that right guy and do it in a conscious way.
Right.
And so, yes. And so, really what we need to do is we need to, one of my teachers, Debbie Ford, probably not a really nice image to have, but she says that, when our lives can kind of look like we have a big bowl of poop and we put ice cream on top of it, and eventually you're going to get down there and eat something you don't want to eat. But so we need to clean that bowl out. We need to like know what's in there in order to like sweep it away and wash it out and start fresh. You know, we have to clean our bowl out first before we go and, fill it up with something and be really conscious of what it is that we're putting in our bowls to fill up, nurture our lives with, right?
Yeah, so a simplistic way to say this might be the only way out is through.
It's true, because you can try and go around it, and, the only way out, but the only way to the right guy is through it. You got to go through it in order to have a different experience of yourself. And that's what's going to allow you to attract a different quality person into your life. So you'll know that when you're going through this raising your consciousness, you're also rebuilding your confidence and your self-esteem and your trust in things working out for your life. So, that building your foundation on anger and resentment and fear, it's really easy to become bitter and cynical about your life, but ultimately it's just going to cause more pain, and you don't want to do that. You want to really come from this place of rebuilding on a solid foundation that starts with consciousness.
Mm.
And I have a consciousness practice that helped Jane heal faster, and I can share that with you as well.
Yeah, that would be very nice. So our first C is consciousness, and you're going to introduce us to a helpful tool to help with the consciousness piece, right?
Right. And this is a very basic version of it. I design very specific questions for my clients that are unique to them, but they always include some form of the question that I'm going to ask or the practice that I'm going to give you today. And this one practice really has the potential to make a huge difference in the choices that you make that lengthen or shorten the healing process and get you into a place of really getting to that right guy sooner. So each evening, yes?
I said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So each evening I had Jane do this before she went to sleep, and she simply asked herself a few questions. And so this is what I'd like each of your listeners to do, and it will raise your consciousness right away. Every evening before you go to bed, simply ask yourself these few questions. What did I do today that made me feel better about myself and my life? And you'll just make a short list of thoughts, beliefs, actions, things that happened that you did that you had control over, that left you feeling better, that raised your vitality, your energy level. And then you'll also ask another question, which is, what did I do today that made me feel worse about myself and my life? And make a brief list there too. And this is going to give you a real awareness of what it is that you are doing in your life on a regular basis, daily basis, do it every day. Right? So you're going to have the consciousness of this, these actions that I do, like, you know, lamenting about my ex, following him on Facebook, right? That's going to make you feel worse. And if that makes
right.
you feel worse, those things are on there, stop doing those things. Or just in the beginning, you just want to become aware of it. You just want to have that consciousness. And over time, then you'll be able to consciously choose which actions you want to take. And the practice that will help you do that is each morning ask yourself, what can I do today that will make me feel good about myself? So now you're starting the day with an intention of choosing, making choices that leave you feeling good. And now you also have a real clear idea of what those actions are that make you feel better or worse. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those questions, and I love the idea of starting the day with that intention.
Mm-hmm. It really, really makes a difference. And if you do this on a regular basis, you'll notice that you have a stockpile of actions and things that you can do to get yourself out of feeling bad. And it's not as an avoidance. It really isn't, because you do need to feel whatever it is that you need to feel. But it's having a little bit more choice around how you expend your energy on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it helps you to also, the word consciousness, it helps you to be conscious of what's going on instead of just being in the trap of just kind of letting things go without really even being aware of what's going on in terms of your emotions or thoughts or some of your actions. You're creating an awareness by asking those questions.
Exactly, exactly. And asking them again and again and again is going to build that and deepen it and strengthen it inside of you. So the other two C's that I have to share with you, I just want you to know that they're all connected. You can't really have one without another. And you'll see how this is true. So the second C that I have to share with you today is connection. And one very common thing that I've noticed is that people isolate themselves. I've noticed that a lot of people going through a breakup feel alone. And like me, I felt like I was a failure. I made the ending of my relationship, the failure of my relationship, mean that I was a failure. And I had so much shame around it that I didn't want anybody to see me, because I felt like if they saw me, they would know that I was a failure.
Mm.
And that was really hard to deal with. So I understand why people isolate themselves. But the more they isolate themselves, the more they stay stuck in their feelings of whatever it
yeah.
is, from failure, right?
Right.
So, for example, the client that I told you about, Jane, she felt so alone when I first started working with her, because she called me after the ending of that second marriage. And she would just be curled up in a fetal position and be crying. And the more she did that, the worse she felt. The worse she felt, the more she isolated and cried. And it just became this really vicious cycle. And so there are many kinds of connections that I encourage my clients to create in our work together. And the coaching connection with me is one of the most powerful ones, because you get a lot of value out of having someone hold your hand through it and reflect back to you what's going on and have accountability in a compassionate way. And so, but what I'd like to do is share with you one exercise that helped raise her awareness and connect with her own body. So it's a consciousness and connecting exercise. Shall we try this?
Mm. Yeah.
It's a fun one. I love doing this little. It's just a real little thing to become aware of where we are in our bodies. So, and everybody that's listening can do this right along with us. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to curl up right now in a really tight ball. Like, put your head down and just get yourself feeling in, like, isolated and contracted. And now say, I feel happy. Can you do it? Do you feel happy when you do that, Michelle?
No.
It's impossible to feel happy when we're in that state, right?
Right.
And now, so now let's do this. What I'd like you to do now is I'd like you to sit up nice and tall or stand up, put your arms up in the air, wide out, like you're ready to engage the world, and say, I'm so depressed. What was that like?
Well, it's the body language and the message is not congruent. I don't feel that way when I'm right. in that position.
Right, right. And so can you see how a simple exercise like this can bring awareness to how you're feeling, right? And that alignment has to take place. So if you want to shift, if you want to be conscious around this and connect with your body, you can shift how you're feeling in a moment, just by changing your body language. Because your emotions won't allow you to feel depressed when you're standing up tall with your arms in the air saying, I'm ready, world.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, practices like this can help you gently shift how you feel about not only yourself, but your life and your ability to attract a great guy.
Yeah, because we're energetically coming from a totally different place
mm-hmm.
and are going to attract a much higher quality relationship when we're in that space of expansion and openness and joy than when we're contracted like in a little ball.
Right, right.
Whether that be figuratively or emotionally.
Right, right, exactly. And I'm not suggesting that we walk around like this with our arms up in the air all the time, right?
Right.
Because we do need to feel it, but we have control over it. Through our consciousness and connection, we can direct our lives more than, you know, we can take responsibility for them in a way we haven't before. We can direct them in a conscious way. And so I just love that. I love that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, connection is a really important thing. We need to connect on a lot of different layers and in a lot of different ways. And, one of the things that I'm really guessing here is that, you know, with this, place of isolating, and I'm going out on a limb just because I've seen it so much, is that a lot of people probably do this, and it really sabotages our healing process. And so I'm thinking that this is a red flag for people. If you do deal with isolation on some level, look at it as a red flag. It will drag your healing out for a really long time. So get yourself out there. Connect with your body through dance, through meditation. Connect with people and new people. This is really important. You know, I remember when I was married and a lot of people were going through a divorce, and I could not understand for the life of me why they wouldn't let me support them. Like, I didn't get it because I wasn't going through their experience, but they were isolating themselves. And I only understood this once I went through the experience myself and go, oh,
yeah.
It wasn't about me. It was, you know, when I was the one wanting to support. It was totally understandable from the point of, oh, now I get it. And so what I want to say is I also know that isolating yourself really doesn't serve you. It really, really doesn't. So resist all of your temptation to stay home at night or to cover yourself under the cover, but also connect with new people because you need new energy in your life, and family and friends may give you advice that, you know, they're coming from their own investment in your happiness. And so you can still have that, but you need some new energy in your life. It's really, really important.
Yeah, I think that tendency or that feeling of wanting to contract, like you mentioned that you felt that way after your divorce. I've felt that way after a very painful breakup. I think somehow we feel some kind of shame or something. It's like we're ashamed or feel like we've failed, and that if we're out there and we're in contact or in community, people are going to see us because we have this raw, gaping wound, and we're afraid maybe that's going to be seen by other people. I don't know. What do you think that is?
You absolutely hit it right on the nail on the head. That's what I was talking about with the failure of my marriage meant that I was a failure. I don't want anybody to see that, see how much of a failure I think I am. But here's the thing that I've learned, and this is consistent with every single client that I've had that has felt that way. Shame cannot live in the light. It cannot live. Once you expose it, once you say it out loud, it can't live. It can't control you any longer. And so even going to somebody and saying to them, I feel so ashamed that my marriage ended, you're going to have a completely different experience than if you keep that to yourself and hide your shame. People are going to react to you totally different. Go ahead.
I just love that phrase, shame cannot live in the light.
It can't. It can't. And that, I guarantee you, I have worked with so many people around this specific issue of shame. And I'd say it's probably one of my biggest expertises, you know, the areas that I work the most in. It cannot live there. And I have specific exercises that I work with people to reveal that shame and so that they can not just get, see what happens is when it gets out, and then it no longer hurts you. It's something that you can actually release. You don't have to carry it with you. And you can have a different experience of yourself. So That's really fantastic.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That was really beautiful, and I think it's so incredibly powerful because, as you said, one of the main areas you work with people on is that area of shame, and that's an area of expertise. And I just think that shows up in so many interesting ways in our lives, and sometimes we're not really aware that it's there. Sometimes we're not really aware why it's there, and yet it can be such a powerful thing that can really hold us back from being able to move forward. And so I love this idea of shining the light on it and that it can no longer survive the light.
Yes, and if you, just listening to what you're saying about the awareness of it, this speaks directly to what I was sharing about the first C, which is consciousness, right? You have to, that is the awareness. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people do not know that they even carry that shame. They just feel bad. Or they go into a deep depression. Or, you know, like that's, it just brings about, I don't have words for it, but I just feel bad. So, they're connected. So the third C, are you ready for that, or do you have something
else?
Yeah,
we're ready. The third C.
All right. We can't forget this one. It's a daily dose of compassion. So here's one of the things that I've really I feel very strongly about, because from what I've noticed is we don't treat ourselves very well in this area. And as a general rule, the automatic robotic place for us to go to is just my fault, or, you know, I'm there's something wrong with me, or I'm unlovable, or, you know, I'm not enough, and I'm wanted. I've certainly done that myself, of course. I mean, why would I be teaching this if this, you know, when I said at the beginning, you teach what you need to know. I've got this one down because
sometimes it feels like that message is just screaming in our head.
I, as a matter of fact, I can share briefly with you. I had an experience around this that totally blew my world apart, and it was a little run-in with my inner critic. it had become so powerful and so strong that I couldn't even hear anything else. And it kept me awake every night, just telling me how bad and awful I was. And I ended up cutting its head off. In my mind, I did a visualization, and I cut its head off. And you know what it did? It grew another head back.
It grew another head. Oh,
it
no.
It grew a head. It just kept growing. And it was so, that's how powerful it was. That's how much control it had over me. That's how much, you know, it was so painful. And so I just made I drew a circle around myself, an imaginary circle around myself about 10 feet out. And I said, this is what gets to be in my circle. Loving kindness is one, probably the number one thing. And if you're not bringing loving kindness, then you don't get to be in my inner circle. You have to go out there. And that's basically what I did with my inner critic. I said, even you have to leave. And every time it just kept growing that head back, I kept cutting the head off, probably 300 times in the first few days. But slowly, as I was consistent with it, it got the message. And in that visualization, today I can see my inner critic, and he's probably, it's a man, probably not the right guy, right? About 300, 400 feet away, and its head is about the size of a tennis ball, and it's terrified of me. So today, with bringing in compassion into my life, you know, because with the absence of the inner critic, I was able to flood myself with compassion and then heal from that pain, right? And so I don't need that in my life. I don't even have it. I don't even have the inner critic anymore. And I'll tell you, that is so freeing. And to create a life from a place void of inner criticism is a really good place to be. So here's the analogy.
The compassion you're speaking of is compassion for yourself.
Yes, yes. And so I have a great analogy around it. And here's this. Who is the one person? There is one person that you are guaranteed to be in relationship for the rest of your life. If men come and go, there's one person you'll always be with, right?
Right.
That's yourself.
Right.
And so you might as well create a relationship with yourself that you want to be with you, right?
you want
to attract the right guy. You want to be with yourself. Like, who wouldn't want to be with me? As opposed to, gosh, I can't stand being with myself because I'm in such misery. No, it's a difference of what you're attracting. So you've got to become your best friend. And what you can do, this is the little thing that you can do to really, you know, integrate that, is to ask yourself, when you're in situations or when you're being hard on yourself or whatever, just ask yourself, if I were my own best friend, how would I treat myself in this situation? And listen to the answer, because I guarantee you, it's different than the way you're treating yourself. Would you be hard on your best friend or gentle? Would you berate your best friend or tell her she was wrong and to get over it? No. You'd tell her she's okay. You'd tell her that you love her and that you're going to be there for her. You'd probably even take her out to dinner when she was having a bad day and not let her be alone when she was sad, right?
Right.
You'd make sure that she knew she was loved and cared for. So this is your job. Everybody that's listening, right? This is your job, to give yourself compassion, to be gentle, to really take this relationship with yourself seriously. And the moment that you say something hurtful to yourself, stop. And imagine that you're your own best friend and ask yourself, what would I say to my best friend right now? Ask yourself, what do I need in this moment? And then give yourself that instead of another bop on the head, right? You deserve
right.
it. But it's so simple, but it's really groundbreaking. It's transformational. If you do this, it'll change your life.
Yeah, it is, because if those voices or that inner critic or whatever we might want to call it is operating, it's very, very difficult to heal. It's very, very difficult to be able to be open or ready or even recognize a good man that might come along or an opportunity for a good relationship. And for me, when that gets out of control, I also can go into a real downward spiral. It's like if I allow one of those thoughts to stay, then I can start spiraling downward with my thoughts into what, you know, to the point where I do feel like curling up on the bed in a ball and hibernating for days.
Right. You know, when you said about the, you said something just now that reminded me of you know, recognizing the right guy when he comes along.
Yeah.
Like, my inner critic was so strong for so long, but and I felt so undeserving of having the right guy. Hence I married, you know, the wrong guy and stayed with him for so long. But even prior to meeting him, I remember this one man who was treated me so good, and he was so nice to me. I mean, he was definitely one of those right guy kind of guys, but
yeah.
I couldn't see it. And I remember having the distinct thought that that there must be something wrong with him because he was so good to me.
Wow.
That comes from a place of really not being conscious or connected or having any compassion for myself.
Yeah, and I think you bring up such a good point here, because the things that inner critic says, or that voice that we allow to take over sometimes consciously, sometimes we're, you know, it catches us off guard. At least mine does. She kind of likes to sneak up. And but if that's operating so strongly, it can have such an impact that we may not even recognize how much it's holding us back. And like you say, we would never say these things to someone we loved and cared about,
right.
A friend, a sister, anyone. You know,
you probably wouldn't even say that to
somebody. In a million years, say these kinds
right.
of things that we say to ourselves. I mean, they can be so cruel and so nasty
yeah.
and so
yeah.
hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
you just painful
even
to even
that.
Think about the things that
right.
this inner critic likes to say, right?
Right. And you probably wouldn't even say that to somebody that you hated.
Right.
That to yourself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, it can be, for me, this can be a pervasive problem. Sometimes as much work as I've done, as much transformational work as I've done, I find her cropping back up again. I call her a her because, you know, she's this little mean voice in there saying all kinds of mean, nasty things. And so I say, she's already talking to me, so it's okay if I talk back to her, right? So sometimes I have a little conversation and I say, you know, I really appreciate your concern for me, and I recognize that you've been working really, really hard, and I choose to see things from a different point of view, and then I might offer a different point of view. And then I'll actually verbally say in my mind to her, you know, you've been working so hard that I'd like to recommend that you take an extended vacation in some exotic location. And don't feel free to stay as long as you'd like. And then
you're
if she
too
comes,
kind. You're
yeah,
too kind.
So,
she probably deserves to be put into the corner, right?
She probably does deserve to be put into the corner. But if I can get her to go off somewhere and, you know, ease up a little bit. She's
yeah.
obviously been overworking herself.
Yeah, for sure.
That sometimes, you know, I really, this sounds crazy, but I really sometimes have this little conversation and I send her packing.
Great. And can you see how you might have a little different experience if you were to engage as if you're your own best friend?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. A nurturing, kind approach.
Yeah. And here's the thing is I do a lot of shadow work in the work that I do and you know, parts work, and we have all the human qualities inside of us. We have all these different aspects of ourselves. And our inner critic, unfortunately, has generally in a lot of cases become a really prominent figure in our lives. And I really advocate for other parts of ourselves to come into the forefront. For example, our inner wise woman. If we, what would it be like if we introduced that part of ourselves and nurtured that part of ourselves and invited that part of ourselves into our lives to where we could have a conversation with that part of ourselves, and we could say, what do you think about this? Instead of going to the inner critic, oh, I know that you're trying to support me here. I don't think they have your best interest in heart, but your inner wise woman does. She really does know what's in your best interest, and she's not going to steer you wrong because she's got your back. And so how about if we nurture other parts of ourselves?
Yeah, I like this inner wise woman concept. And I do think there are times I do think the inner critic, for me anyway, does have my best self-interest at heart, because I think she is trying to protect me in a way that may not be effective or may not be nice. But I think it's a protective thing in many cases when the fear comes up or the fearful thoughts. It's like she's saying, we don't want to get hurt again.
Exactly.
Whatever.
But it is out of protection. It is out of a fear. We come from two places. We can only live our lives from fear or love. And so our inner critic, when my clients, and I have a lot of people who come to me with exactly what you're saying, and so I'll make suggestions like, how about if you have them by appointment only with your inner critic? So that they don't just get free rein. If they have something really important that they really want to help you with, then sure, then set an appointment. And you know what? Make another appointment with your inner wise woman right afterwards. So if you are thrown off, you're not left dangling. That would be a loving thing a best friend would do. Right?
By so appointment only. I like that concept a lot.
Yeah. It all works. It all works.
And maybe you want to be booked up most of the time for available appointments for the inner critic, right?
It's got a very full
schedule.
right. Well, you can have a little time trade calendar where you only put, one a week on or something like that. But you have more control over it, and you can still, you can still benefit from the inner critic. But, I'm really speaking from the point of view or the experience, really, of having it be out of control, and it was just destructive. And if that's going on in people's lives, then sometimes it does need to be a drastic measure, because it can take us down. That inner critic can lead to severe depression. And if that's the case for any of the listeners, then I really want them to know, I want you all to know that there are ways of untangling from that inner critic, that codependent relationship with the inner critic, and to do it in a way that is gentle and kind to yourself and compassionate and totally unique to you in how you want to create that new relationship.
Yeah, so Layla, I want to give you an opportunity in just a moment to share with our listeners a very generous, lovely free gift that you have to offer. But before you do that, can you just recap for us one more time the three C's?
Mm-hmm. Well, the three C's are consciousness, connection, and compassion. And we need to have consciousness in our lives in order to create something new. We need to make connections in our lives so that we can integrate that consciousness into our lives. And then we need to have compassion to pull it all together so that we don't have to be perfect, and we can make mistakes, and we can be human. And these are the three C's: consciousness, connection, and compassion are a foundation from which to build our life so that we can attract the right guy in a way that is delicious and yummy, where we're living in our fullness and completely and totally aware of what we're doing without having our old baggage and sabotaging behaviors leading the way.
Beautifully said. So I want to let our listeners know about your wonderful free gift, and we thank you for your generosity on this. And before you tell us about it, I just want to let everyone know where they can go to access this. So just go to readyfortherightguy.com/Leila, which is L-E-I-L-A. So that's readyfortherightguy.com/Leila. So will you tell us a little bit about the free gift?
Sure, I'd love to. And one of the things that I've noticed is a need to come together, you know, with the connection, one of my
yeah.
three C's. So creating community has become very important to me, and connection is really vital. And so I have a community of about 7,000 people who journal online, and they support each other by giving feedback and offering compassion. And you can journal in a way that is completely private, or you can journal in a way that, you know, there's settings that you can do. But it's so that only I can see it, or only you can see it, or everyone can see it. So you get to choose that level. It's when I was talking about people isolating themselves when they're going through a divorce, this is a really great place to kind of get your toes wet too, and the journal really helps with specific journal prompts that I send each week that help to shift your mindset and so that you can heal your heart and regain your power and create the life that you've always wanted. And so there are a variety of reasons, and some of the most common reasons that people isolate themselves is guilt or shame that they feel around the divorce, or their support system has dropped away because it's just like sometimes it just feels like it's taking too long. And so this journal is called Reclaim Yourself Now, and it will catalyze your healing process. And I'm really, really excited to share it with you.
Mm. Thank you. That sounds lovely. So again, everyone, just go to readyfortherightguy.com/Leila, and that's L-E-I-L-A. So I'll give you an opportunity, Leila, to just leave us with a parting word of encouragement or wisdom or whatever you'd like to share before we wrap up today.
I would like to leave you with the wisdom that says you need to connect with yourself in a way that you love yourself. And when you do that, when you fall in love with yourself, it's going to be really easy for the right guy to fall in love with you.
Thank you. I want to thank you so much for the wonderful conversation we've had today and for being so generous with your wisdom. And I want to also thank each of our listeners for being here with us and invite you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you from the summit interviews. And during this summit, you have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love and relationship experts, and you're able to listen to each of the interview replays for 48 hours. So I hope you'll join us for as many interviews as possible. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit VIP package. And you can get all of the details about that at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. This way you're able to listen at your own convenience, and there's some wonderful bonuses for the VIP package. It's kind of like having a team of experts in your pocketbook. And this is available at special event pricing for $97 at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So thank you so much for being here with us today. And I want to thank our special guest, Leila Reyes, once again. And I look forward to having each of you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit. So for now, Leila and I are both sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.